Hello and welcome. My name is Ian De Bay and this is The Good System. In this podcast, I try to build a vision of a good system which we then can work to implement. The podcast is a deep dive on the basis of my blog, iandebay.com, where I write about the same topics. In this episode, I talk about how much harm cars do and why we have to get rid of them in a good system. This episode is based on an article I wrote on my blog. If you want to read it, the link is in the description. The article heavily relates to the paper Car Harm, a global review of automobility's harm to people and the environment. But I will add some additional thoughts. The paper lists 19 different harms cars are responsible for and puts them into 4 different categories. The categories are violence, ill health, social injustice, environmental damage. For the whole list, please visit my blog. It's a long list, but in short, cars don't have any place in a good system. Just to name some numbers from the paper, cars killed more people than the two world wars combined. Every day, 700 children are killed. The pollution from cars causes several diseases. They cost society a lot, much more than public transit or bikes, which earns the society money because of the health benefits from active travel. Cars are bad for social life because you don't interact with other people, except yelling at other drivers and pushing cyclists off the road. Cars are bad for animals, people, and the environment. If you live in a city, imagine, would you let your kids play outside in the streets? In the summer, when you open your window, what do you hear? Are there more trees or cars on your street? And how much public space is available for cars, driving or parking, and how much space is available for people? Are there areas only accessible by car, at least if you want to survive the trip? Why is that? And what can we do to improve the situation? A lot of things, and it already happens. Maybe not in your city or not fast enough, but it happens. Here are 9 things that we as a society can do to get rid of cars. First, raise the cost for parking and reduce parking spaces. Parking maybe is a worse problem than driving, since 98% of the time automobiles are not mobile but stand still and take away space from other people. All the parking makes cities hotter because of the urban heat island effect. Planting trees and make parks instead of parking lots would reduce heat, create space for the people, makes the life in cities safer and streets more beautiful. Also, attractions and shops that are located outside of cities need to pay per parking space they offer and have additionally to offer a mandatory shuttle service. This would reduce cost, because even if the driver or parker pays a fee, it does not cover the real costs, which are spread to the public. Even if you don't have a car, you pay for it. Probably a bigger part of your taxes are used for cars than for public transportation. Second, reduce speed limits. Driving slower reduces the risk for a driver to kill someone. A lower speed limit also reduces several kinds of pollution. And streets don't need to be as wide, so you gain space for better usage. Third, give cars less space. Instead of building streets for cars, build them for people. Car drivers always need to take the longest way home. The most direct routes are reserved for pedestrians, public transportation, and bikes. 4. Reduce the validity of driving licenses. It is absolutely insane that you take a test once and then can drive forever without ever being tested again. Traffic regulation changes, cars change, and you yourself change. Let's make it mandatory to have your capability for driving checked every 10 years. This doesn't help per se, but the more friction, the better. Right now, everything is made as easy as possible for everyone to drive, but it needs to be the hardest and most unsatisfying way of transportation. And reducing the validity of driving licenses is a part of that. Fifth, road toll everywhere. Make drivers pay for every kilometer they drive. Yes, dear Americans, kilometer. Drivers need to pay already for some roads, but the toll must equal the real costs of driving to make it obvious how much the public subsidizes it. There will still be public funding because streets are needed for emergency vehicles, postal services, public transportation, and other public value. Higher costs will prevent people from taking the car. Yes, some people may not be able to afford a car anymore, but you don't have a right to own a car. You have a right on mobility. That's why, at the same time, public transport, biking and pedestrian infrastructure gets better. And also, there will be carless areas in cities. In fact, most of the city area should and can be car-free when properly designed for human needs. 6. Treat drivers like the criminals they are. Driving under the influence or speeding must be treated like attempted manslaughter. If you do either of these two things, you risk killing someone. That's why you should be treated like a criminal. 7. No more gas. Electric mobility just solves one problem: emissions. So they are not the solution for our future mobility. But since it will be necessary to have some cars, emergency services, buses, delivery, and so on, these cars have to be electric, because EVs are better than combustion engine cars in nearly everything. 8. Building better infrastructure. Making driving worse can't be everything. We also need to build better public transportation, bike and pedestrians infrastructure. It needs to be safe, reliable, and a joy using this way of transportation. Then people will do it. 9. Don't forget those in need for help. In every discussion about cars, few or later, some dude on X brings up the argument,
but what about those in need for help? They need cars to get from A to B.
First, that's not true. Most public transportation nowadays is accessible for people who are not good by foot. Maybe they are good by food, but not by foot. Yes, there is room for improvement, but this is part of point 8, making better infrastructure. Also, there are transportation services to help those in need. And if there is really no other way, they can drive a car. But this will be a very low percentage in comparison to now. How can you do something? If you do not live in an anti-democratic authoritarian country, sorry USA, you can call your local government, join a local NGO or other group, vote for the party that will most likely do something for better mobility, and if there is none, found one. You can spread the information to your family, friends, colleagues and neighbors, like you did it with the coronavirus, and you can also go online and on social media to spread the information there, like you do with computer viruses. If you live in an authoritarian country, all you can do is talk to your peer group, if even that's possible. Any further advice I have would not be legal, so visualize it. But how can life in a city look like without cars? Is it even possible? Well, it was for centuries, But going back to the Stone Ages isn't part of the vision of our good system. So let's take a walk together on the streets of the good system. When we leave our house, we see kids playing in the street. The parents are sitting on benches under trees and talk to each other. You walk by a neighbor and take some time to talk to them. It's no problem because it is quiet. All you can hear are birds, people, and occasionally a tram or bus or a cargo bike, which can easily go by the playing kids because the street is designed properly. You walk by some shops and cafes with people sitting outside. You see kids coming home alone from school, walking by an elderly couple who walk slowly, hand in hand, and can safely cross the street because there's no curb where they could trip. Although it is summer, it is tolerable outside, because the trees provide shadow and the heat isn't stored in the asphalt or the cars. That's why, when you come back home, you can open the window to let the apartment cool for the night. You can even sleep with open window, because it is quiet outside. If it gets too hot anyway, you have an AC in your apartment, don't worry, because climate change is still real in our vision. In the next morning, after a good sleep, you need to get to the other side of the city. That's no problem. You hop on the next available public transportation and you are there fast. There are no traffic jams. And so few cars, they can't block the bus or the tram. In the afternoon, you meet your friends in the park. You go there with your bike and you take your kids with you. It is perfectly safe for them to ride their own bike. The city you live in has more money to spend for people. There are more parks, schools are free, and housing costs are much lower. It is safe even for small kids to go to school by themselves. They learn to be independent much faster. Your health and the health of everyone else is much better, because the air is cleaner and you get more exercise since you walk and bike more. Also, the costs for the public health system are much lower. You feel safe, because without cars, the risk of terror attacks and other crimes is lower. The city is designed in a new way and the architecture is now completely different and more people-friendly. On the weekend, you visit your parents, who live in a small town. You take the train, which is on time and the connection works perfectly. Your parents don't have a car. They have everything they need for their daily life in their town and go there by foot. Yeah, foot, man, not food, foot. To buy food, buy foot. If necessary, things get delivered to them by a public delivery service. There is less isolation. Social life is much better. You know the people around you and it's easier to meet new people. The next public transportation stop is a maximum of 5 minutes away. Everything you need in your everyday life can be reached within 50 minutes. For those who need more than my sloppy descriptions, take a look at visualutopias.com by Jan Kamensky. He turns actual cities into car-free paradises. You find the link in the show notes. If you even need more help to visualize a world without or at least less cars, watch a car commercial. They provide a good template because there's always only one car in the whole city and mostly only one human, the one driving it, which makes these ads apocalyptic. Most of the time, of course, the person doesn't even live in the city, but the suburbs, because nobody needs a car in the city. When I watch these commercials, I don't want the car, I want the city without them. Cars are one major factor why our system is broken right now. Without cars, it will get better fast. This is hard to imagine, especially when you are a driver, but for everyone else too. Because everything is built around the car. Cities are built so you can get everywhere by car, but not necessarily by public transportation or bike. There are even many places you can only get to by car. These places wouldn't even exist without cars. City centers often are dead because of the big malls outside the city, where you only can get by car. which is making life in the city worse for everyone. Because you need a car and drive half an hour to buy something when you could go to the shop around the corner if it still existed. By the way, the cost of housing for people and businesses is interconnected with cars. We need lower rents in the cities, but this is topic for another episode. Cars have such a big negative impact on our health. Even if you don't notice it now, you will feel so much better in a world without cars. You get more exercise, the air is cleaner, there are fewer accidents and you have less stress. There will always be some kind of cars or vehicles, even in our good system. But these cars are electric. Even when there are no more car accidents, which are responsible for many rescue missions, we still will need ambulances. We need to start building cities for people and not for cars. If you are interested in system change and how a good system could look like, subscribe to my podcast and if you can and want, leave a rating or even a review. This will help me a lot. By the way, this podcast is also available on YouTube. If you are already watching it on YouTube, subscribe to the channel and activate the bell so you get a reminder when a new episode is online. Also, check out my blog where I write about these topics and you can find the links to my social media profiles. Thank you for listening. Till next time, yours, Ian the Bay.